How many of you remember what we talked about last week? Not everybody, don't everybody raise your hand at once now. Isaac's father is from Fargo, and he said, I think I'm going to come back next week just so I can hear if you preach the same message again. A lot of you will remember that I started last week about that little scenario from the pastor who preached the same sermon 6 or 7 times in a row. And so I think that's why Isaac's dad said, I'm going to come to see if you do the same one again. We were talking about restricting the power. We were talking about restricting the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember, and let me ask you another question. Do you remember in talking about restricting the power of the Holy Spirit, do you remember perhaps the number one thing that gets in our way? What is it? Self. We were talking about last week. Self gets in our way. Our own self restricts our filling of the Holy Spirit's power. Our own desires, our own lusts, our own motives, our own agendas gets in the way of the filling of the Holy Spirit's power. And so we talked about restricting the power last week. We're going to talk today about embracing the power. Next week, we're going to talk about unleashing the power. The week after that, Lord willing, we're going to talk about going against the power. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you've got your Bibles, I would encourage you to find Acts chapter 2. Last week, we looked at Acts chapter 1, and we saw that Jesus, just before he left that Mount Olive scene, when he went right up into heaven in front of his disciples, he told them, you are going to receive power. And so he said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the power. We saw that in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 2, okay, so that was, we talked about that was 40 days that he was intermittently talking to his disciples off and on and others. And he said to go wait in Jerusalem. They didn't know it, but it was going to be 10 days. Because that takes us up into the event called Pentecost. That happens in chapter 2. And so they've been waiting. They've been praying. They've been seeking the face of God intentionally, in earnest, praying, seeking God's face. It brings us to chapter 2 of Acts. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. That's quite a scene, isn't it? They should make a movie out of that. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the sound of them speaking in these languages, the sound of them speaking praises to God in their own language, at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they ask, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own language? And he lists all of the residents there, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, and on. And he gets down to the last part of 10, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And so you see, the Holy Spirit of God had been poured out on these people, and they were not just necessarily in that day, in that event, speaking an inaudible tongue, but they were speaking languages that all these other people could understand, their own language. And what were they doing? He says they were speaking about God's deeds of power. Now listen to me for a second, brothers and sisters. When we embrace the power, Okay, we've trusted Christ as Lord. And if we haven't done that, that's where we need to start. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. But when we have done that, we need to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I go away so that the Spirit may come. So Jesus left physically, and on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came back. And friends, let me just say, when we as individuals today, even in the 21st century, embrace the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can't help but talk about the good things of God. Amen? When we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, just like it did those brothers and sisters that day. When we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can't help but speak the good things of God. It's like Peter and John and the guys said later on in Acts, we can't help but speak the things of God. And so they were speaking these languages, speaking about God, praising God and His power in all these languages. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered at them and said, they're just filled with new wine. But Peter, enter Peter. Remember the Peter from 50 days back that denied Jesus three times? The Peter that knew Jesus as the Christ. Now Peter, enter Peter. Standing with the 11, raised his voice and he addressed them. By this time, brothers and sisters, there were thousands of people that gathered. I don't know how his voice carried over. It was a supernatural thing. He didn't have microphones and amplification, but there were thousands in that scene. We know that to be true because you read through the whole chapter, you get down towards the end of Acts chapter 2, and you see that 3,000 people repented and confessed sin and trusted Christ as Lord that day. So Peter is now speaking to thousands. It wasn't but a little slave girl here 50 days earlier, and he said, I don't know him. You remember the story? It was just a little slave girl. She said, you're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. And now this same Peter who had embraced the power and been filled with the power of the living God says, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And he begins a long reiterating of prophecy from Joel that begins like this. This is what Peter is saying to the thousands. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And Peter goes into this dialogue about what Joel had prophesied and said, this is what he was talking about when he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he went on and on and on. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 2. We don't have time to read it all the scripture today. But Peter, who, while Jesus was still here, John chapter 21, while Jesus was still intermittently here, that was during that 40-day period. You can read about this in John 21. Peter was with the other disciples, and he said, this is a quote from John 21, I'm going fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing, but this was a man who knew Jesus Christ, but hadn't received the power. You know that story if you look at it too. It's John 21 when they're out there fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus yells out, children, have you got any fish? And he's on shore making breakfast for them. And the conversation goes when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? That's the story I'm referring to. Peter was a man who knew about Christ. He loved him, but he was still in the flesh. And now he is a man that is filled with the Spirit of the living God. He is a man on a mission. Why? Because of Holy Spirit power. Our flesh is weak. But when we embrace the Holy Spirit of God, having trusted the Son of God, Christ as Lord, we are a new creation. filled with the Spirit of God. Amazing things happen. That's what was happening today in this day. And friends, I just want to mention to you, I just want to challenge you. Wouldn't you just love that kind of power? Anybody not want that kind of power? I mean, just to see the work of the living God through the church? I want to see that kind of power. Holy Spirit power. Friends, do you believe it's still available? Hello? Are we awake this morning? The Holy Spirit of God is still available to His church. We go about life, like I said last week, we're stumbling and bumbling and tripping and falling in our own flesh through life when we have got the Holy Spirit's power available to the church. I, for one, would like to see the displaying of the Holy Spirit's power. You say, Jim, how is that going to happen? It's going to happen when we surrender ourselves. I envision the old time radiators. You drained them out at the bottom. You turn the little set screw and you drained out the water of the old time radiators. We gotta loosen the set screw in our feet, brothers and sisters, and let self drain out. And we gotta be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The only way we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is if we drain out self. Get done with self. Get done with our own agendas, our own wills, our own comfort, whatever it is, our own conveniences, and let the Holy Spirit of God fill us with the power of the living God. I am absolutely convinced, brothers and sisters, that the church of God can still be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. I'm convinced of it. I'm not sure the rest of us are. We go through life, we're powered by Armstrong, we cry out to God, and we wonder, why is my life a mess? Well, maybe because we haven't embraced the Holy Spirit's power. Maybe it's because there's still sin in my life and in my agenda. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is still available to the church today, just like it was on Pentecost. It's still available. The power of the Holy Spirit that radically transformed these men. And that day, 3,000 were saved. And you read through the rest of that chapter and you say, you can read where they're adding people to the church every single day. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's power. Because they were proclaiming the good news of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's power. Now, let me just say, there are plenty of folks today that would suggest that spiritual power is at an all-time low. You with me? There are plenty that would suggest today that spiritual, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, is at an all-time low. In other words, they would suggest that we are nothing more than the Laodicean church. You remember the story in Revelation 3? Who remembers the church of Laodicea? I know some of you do. What's he say about the church at Laodicea? You're lukewarm. And there's many amongst us today that would suggest that our spiritual fervency is at an all-time low. Why? Because we're just going about life powered by Armstrong, and we've forgotten there's a Holy Spirit of God that's available. And the Laodicean church, you can read about this in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. God or Jesus says to John, write this to the church at Laodicea. Because I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm spitting you out of my mouth. He don't have time for lukewarm, brothers and sisters. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit and be alive in His Spirit and be responding to His Spirit and to be led by His Spirit. That's what God wants of His churches today, just like He did at Pentecost. He said to that church at Laodicea, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He don't have time for lukewarm, friends. He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. If we claim the name of Christ, He wants us to be laying down our self-wills, laying down our agendas, laying down our comforts and whatever else, and get in touch with God and be filled with His Spirit. Because you know what? He's going to give you the desires of your heart, the psalmist said, when we do that. How much better can it get? There are those that write this today in the church. Many circles are crying out for corporate revival to come down upon them from on high, thinking that if we praise hard enough, or we pray hard enough, or we preach hard enough, or we cry hard enough, that the Holy Spirit must of necessity come down. But it's in these same circles that sins are tolerated, which cause a barrier to separate them from the reality of genuine Holy Spirit demonstration and power. Brothers and sisters, I think he's right on. We're crying out to God. We're crying out to God to come, fill us with your power, fill us with your presence, fill us with your Spirit. And Monday through Saturday, we're living in sin. Oh, we've got sin in our agenda. Or we've got sin that keeps cropping up. Friends, I'm here to tell you that if sin is going to keep cropping up in our lives, we ain't ever going to see the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to repent. When you read through Acts chapter 2, and they call out to Peter, what shall we do? They were convicted in their heart. The first thing he says is repent. When you read through the rest of Revelation in those letters and 3 and in lots of others, he says to repent. That's where we've got to start. We've got to repent of our own agendas, our own will, our own selfishness, whatever it is. We've got to repent. If we're ever going to see the Holy Spirit's power, we're ever going to be filled by the Spirit of God, we've got to start with repentance. Jesus said this in Matthew 23. Remember the 7 woes in Matthew 23 when he addressed the Pharisees, when he said, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites? You remember that little story? You remember that little saying? Boy, you're tired this morning, aren't you? That is in Matthew 23, take my word on it. You can read it if you like to. But Jesus is getting after the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. And one of the things that he says in that scenario is, in that chapter is, though the outside of the cup is clean. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about us. You're looking all that, Jim. You're looking all that, church. You're looking all that holy. And on the inside, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. That's what Jesus said to the religious elite of his day. You're looking all that shiny. People looking at you, oh yeah, Jim, he's got it all together spiritually. And on the inside, you haven't got anything right. We're never going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God until we get it right in here. Until we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and avail ourselves and embrace the available power of the Spirit of God. And so, though oftentimes the outside of our cup may be clean, way too often we prefer our own agenda over God's will. You say, Jim, how do I know God's will? Brothers and sisters, if we don't spend time in the Word of God, we're never going to know the will of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Somebody say, amen. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And if we don't spend time in the Word of God, we're never going to know the will of God. And if we don't know the will of God, we're going to be walking in our own wills. We're going to be walking in our own agendas because we don't even know the will of God, much less care. And so far too often, even though the outside of our cup might look clean, we prefer our own agenda over God's revealed will. Way too often, friends, we prefer our own convenience over the commands of God. Way too often, we prefer our own comfort over His glory. Pastor Les was just telling me last night at prayer time, he's reading a book called Tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand, who was in a Romanian prison for 14 years, just because he was a Christian, wrote that book. If you've never read it, there's a couple in the library. I recommend it. I just happened to read this week the book that his wife wrote, because she went to prison too, just because she was a Christian. Brothers and sisters, they were tested for their faith, and people all over the globe are today. just because they're Christians. They may go to prison. Their husbands or wives may be killed. They may be tortured. There may be rape. They may be maimed. They may have their children taken away. They are not worrying about their comforts because they're sold out to the Holy Spirit of God. They've surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. They've embraced the power, and that is what gets them through these events and these occasions. Sometimes I think we're a little soft. Sometimes I think we got it pretty easy. And because we got it so easy, and we get a little soft even in our faith, and all of a sudden our lives fill up with self-will and self-wants and self-glorification and self-comfort and all this stuff, when we should be loosing the drain plug and letting self run out and the Holy Spirit fill us up. I got to jump to the end because time is up. But I do want to say this. In Revelation 3, there's another letter. In the first three verses of Revelation 3, there's another letter that Jesus told John, write this one to Sardis. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars. Here's what he writes to Sardis. I know your works. And if you look at all seven letters, friends, you'll see that exact same phrase in five of the seven churches. God says, I know who you are. Okay? Let's just understand, friends, we ain't fooling God. The outside of the cup may look shiny and clean, but if the inside is full of greed and self-indulgences, we're not fooling God. And God is talking to the church. This happens to be the church at Sardis. I know your works. I know who you are. I know what your life is Monday through Saturday. I know what your life is behind closed doors. I know what your life is on the computer, wherever. I know what your life is. He says, I know your works. And even though the NRSV says you have a name of being alive, some of your translation says you have a reputation of being alive, he says quite emphatically, but you're dead. How'd you like God to come to our church? How'd you like Jesus to come to our church and stand here in front of us and say, Jim and congregation, you got a reputation of being alive because you got this, that, and the other thing going on, but inside you're dead. That's what he's saying to this church at Sardis. You got a few things going on, preacher. You got a few things going on, congregation, but in your hearts it's dead. And friends, he said this quite simply because they had not embraced the power. They're just walking. They knew Christ. This was the church he's talking about. The dying church. The one that was all but dead. And he said this because they had not embraced the power. They're going about life, going about everyday life. He refers to as works, going about life, powered by our own flesh and our own desires, our own wills and our own agendas. And he said, you might have a name of being alive, but he said, really, you're dead. And in verse 3:2, he says, wake up. And I believe, friends, that is the message for the church today. I really do. And I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just saying the church today needs to wake up. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit of God is available and we're relaxing and resting on our own powers, our own agendas, our own wills, and our own comfort. When the Holy Spirit of God is available to the church, we're not embracing the power of the living God. We would be far different in America and far different all over our communities if the church would embrace the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We would be far different. Jesus said, write that letter to that church and tell them to wake up. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. He said, you're almost done, church. You're almost dead, completely gone. And he said to wake up, strengthen what remains, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of God. Then he says, remember then what you received. How are we going to wake up? Remember what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. There it is again. Church of God in Sardis or in Motley or in Timbuktu or anything else, God is calling out for the church to embrace the power. Wake up. Remember what you've heard. Remember what you've learned. Remember how you've trusted Christ, because you see that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that. Repent and obey it. He said, before there is nothing left, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour that I'm coming. Friends, let me close with this. We need to surrender. I believe the church of which I am part, we need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if we've never done that, that's where we have to start. If we've never trusted Christ as Lord, we've never absolutely surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, we must do that. Eternity depends upon if we do. But if we have, friends, we've got to get self out of the way. We've got to embrace the power, the available Holy Spirit's power. Tony Evans said it this week, or this way. I heard this on Christian radio this last week. He was speaking to the National Religious Broadcasters Association of America. He was invited to be their speaker, and he said it this way. He said, friends, listen, he said, church, listen to me. He said, the society in America is bleeding. They're bleeding. They're bleeding unto death. And he said, Church of God, if we're not going to wake up in the Spirit of the living God, he said, then take down the signs. Take them down. Because you're not the church of God, is what Tony's challenge was to us this last week. Take down the sign out there that says church. Because if we've not embraced the power of the living God, and we're not meeting the needs of the bleeding, the dying, the lostness, the hurting around us, he said, take down the sign. And so, friends, I believe we can leave the sign up, whether it's on this place or the next place. I believe we can leave the sign up. Because I believe the Holy Spirit of God is still available. I'm not disagreeing with Tony Evans at all, because he's a great man of God. I'm just saying I believe there's still a chance for the church to be alive in the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm still saying that if we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, having surrendered to the Son of God, embrace the Spirit of God, I'm still saying that radical transformation can happen even in our communities. Amen? Even in our communities. Let's pray. Father God, we need you. Father God, we desperately need you. We need you in the church. Even in the church today, O Lord, we have been guilty of being dead and lukewarm. Father, we need you. Forgive us for that. Fill us, Father, as we repent, as we humble ourselves, as we seek your face, longing for your filling. Fill us up, Holy Spirit of God, so that when people leave this place, we're not even powered by ourselves anymore. We're powered by the Holy Spirit of God. Father, when we leave this place, may we be the people of God that you have called us to be Monday through Saturday, not just shiny on the outside, but with a changed heart, because we've surrendered to Christ, we've surrendered our own wills and allowed the Holy Spirit to empower us. When we leave this place, Father, I pray that we're changed. I pray that we're radically transformed. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit speaks to our ears very clearly. Everyone here today, we're in one of two camps. Jesus said it real plain. We're either lost and on our way to hell, or we're found and on our way to heaven. That's where we got to start. If we have not acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord, repented of our sin, and invited Christ to come into our life, we're not ready for heaven. Jesus is real clear about that. And Father, if we're in that camp today, help us to get right with Jesus before it's too late. And Father, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, and yet we've been blundering through life on our own strength, forgive us for that and fill us with your Spirit as we empty ourselves of self. Breathe Holy Spirit life into your church, O God, we pray. We need you, Lord. I need you. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit of God, fill us up, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.